this is the day that the Lord has made.
Let us rejoice and be glad.
I'd like to welcome you all here this morning. It is the eighth Sunday after Pentecost. For those watching numbers 790. ask your Holy Spirit that you may acknowledge your gifts, give thanks for all your benefits, and serve you in willing obedience. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Please be seated for the reading of our lessons from God's Holy Word.
Thanks be to God. We rise for the singing of the Alleluia.
Alleluia.
sixth chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
The apostles returned to Jesus and told him all that they had done and taught. And he said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves. Now many saw them going and recognized them, and they ran there on foot from all the town and got there ahead of them. When he went ashore, he saw a great crowd, and he had compassion on them, because they were like sheep without a shepherd. And he began to teach them many things. And when it grew late, his disciples came to him and said, "This is a desolate place, and the hour is now late. Send them away to go into the surrounding countryside and villages and buy themselves something to eat." But he answered them, "You give them something to eat." And he said to them, "Shall we go and buy 200 denarii worth of food and give it to them to eat?" And he said to them, "How many loaves do you have? Go and see." And when they had found out, they said, 5 and 2 fish. Then he commanded them all to sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and by fifties. And taking the 5 loaves and 2 fish, he looked up to heaven and said a blessing, and broke the loaves and gave them to the disciples to set before the people. And he divided the 2 fish among them all, and they all ate and were satisfied. And they took up 12 baskets full of broken pieces and of the fish. And those who ate the loaves were 5,000 men. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
This time, please be seated. We are going to do the children's message for the sake of the online version.
And we pray for our daily bread. And I was reminded by a friend here.
body of Christ, and we bring that as close as we possibly can, and we keep that close. And I like to tell people, oh, we're here in church. How close can we get? It's great to be in church. Because I can look out in the binoculars, and I can see people that look just like us. They are in church. Are they farther from Christ? I'm sure some of them call themselves Christians. Coming to church doesn't make us a Christian, right? Because that's also the message that we have. In St. Paul's words, he might create a new man and bring us together. He reconciles us. Through him, we have access to the Father. In him, we have a dwelling place for God and the Holy Spirit. So it's great that we can do these things to keep ourselves close to Christ, but Christ has sacrificed himself for us. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the gift of your Son.
Thank you for the gift of your Son.
Thank you for our ability.
Thank you for our ability.
To remember you.
To remember you.
With the Holy Spirit.
With the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen.
We continue with the sermon hymn, "The Lord is My Shepherd, I'll Not Want," on page 8.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. When my oldest son turned 3, we enrolled him in 3-year-old preschool up in Illinois where we were living. Now, some 3-year-olds love crazy spontaneity and are unconstrained by rules and order, but not my son. He wanted things predictable and orderly, beyond the ability of the teacher and the other 3-year-olds to provide that. He liked order, they liked chaos. We had to withdraw him from that class and wait for four-year-old preschool. What kind of parents are we? Our first son, and he's a preschool dropout. Chaos can be very uncomfortable. I really, really don't like the chaos of large crowds. When you're so tightly packed in somewhere that you can't move where you want, you just have to move with the crowd. I get panicky when I'm at the mercy of a mass of humanity. And crowds can bring chaos. But there also is a chaos in being alone. This can happen after a divorce, the death of a loved one, or your spouse being put in a care center. It can happen also after the kids leave home. The regular order of your life is no longer there. Plans for the future evaporate. This chaos of being alone can leave you disoriented and anxious. There's chaos of getting lost. With GPS technology, it's harder to get lost, but think of a time, perhaps maybe as a child, when you got separated from your family and you couldn't find them. And fear and panic start to take over. It's a very chaotic feeling. In our lessons today, we find a lot of chaos. In the reading from the prophet Jeremiah, the Lord is chastising the religious leaders of Israel for being evil shepherds. Instead of caring for the sheep, who are the people of Israel, the shepherds destroy the sheep and scatter them. Instead of guiding them to live their lives in orderly, faithful ways, the shepherds have scattered the sheep to live out their lives without regular, faithful religious order. They are on their own, lost in the wilderness of the pagan worship of Baal and Asherah and Moloch. They're lost in a world where the people who are supposed to be caring for the sheep are fleecing the sheep for their own gain. The evil shepherds have brought chaos. In our gospel reading, we see the chaos of the crowds that are following Jesus. Mobs have been pressing in on him and are constantly surrounding Jesus so that he and the disciples are not even able to get something to eat. They need a break from the chaos. They need a time of peace and calm, so Jesus and the disciples retreat by boat to get away from the crowds. But the crowds, however, see what they are doing and run ahead and are waiting for Jesus as he lands. It's chaos. Jesus is fleeing the chaos, and the chaos follows him. So does he get back in the boat and try to find another place? No. Jesus has compassion on them. His guts ache for them because these people are in chaos. It's because they are like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus assumes the role of the good shepherd. He spends the day teaching them many things, and then the day grows late, and it's a desolate place, and the large crowds are hungry. And the disciples want to send them away so they can get something to eat, but Jesus has other plans. Right there on the shores of the Sea of Galilee, Jesus enacts the promises of God with this great crowd of people. Jesus is their shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. Here in the wilderness on the shore of the Sea of Galilee, we see the Lord bringing peace and satisfaction to his people. We see Jesus, the good shepherd, literally making people recline in green pastures beside the still waters. Out of chaos and hunger, Jesus brings order and food. Then he commanded them to all sit down in groups on the green grass. So they sat down in groups by hundreds and fifties. The disordered crowd is now set in order. Like he did in the beginning at creation, Jesus brings order out of chaos. And then, like feeding the children of Israel manna in the desert, Jesus miraculously feeds 5,000 people from five loaves of bread and two fish, with 12 baskets remaining. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. There is great spiritual chaos in the world today. There is the chaos of false gods, gods that were made in the image of man. In too many Christian churches, there is the chaos of not knowing where you stand with God. The chaos of not knowing, did Jesus die for me or not? Some teach that Jesus died for some people, but not for others. And as a natural born sinner struggling with temptation, you're left with the chaos of constant doubt whether you're saved or not. Others teach that you need to do enough to be saved. You need to be sincere enough. You need to have enough faith. You need to give enough. You need to do enough. But people know they are never enough and are left in the chaos of doubt. There's the chaos of having been driven away from Jesus' church. Many, many people have been hurt by abusive leaders in the church. There have been horrendous instances of pastors, the under-shepherds of the good shepherd, using and abusing the sheep for their own pleasure and benefit. And this is despicable. These evil shepherds scatter the sheep, and now the sheep are alone in the world. Others find themselves in spiritual chaos because they have left the church, seeking the freedom to live however they choose. There's a common phrase used by people who are not part of the church. They say, I don't believe in organized religion. They seek the freedom of chaos. But freedom means they are sheep wandering alone in the world. And they are easy prey for the devil, who prowls like a roaring lion. There is the spiritual chaos of having a pastor who has abandoned the Bible as the source of authority, who only pays lip service to Scripture while preaching what people's itching ears want to hear. Preaching about how to be successful in life and have God bless you with health and wealth. Preaching that the source of moral authority is not God's word, but it's whatever is the newest, wokest idea coming in from the cultural elites. There is chaos when God's plan for men and women, for sexual intimacy, for the sanctity of life, and even Jesus on the cross as the only source of salvation, are rejected as being out of date, hateful, medieval ideas. It is chaotic to be part of a church that continually changes its teachings to go along with whatever is happening in society around them. The greatest spiritual chaos you face in this life is the chaos of death. Nothing else leaves you reeling with so much emotion, whether it's the death of a loved one or facing your own mortality. Death brings intense spiritual chaos. There is so much chaos in life. It is a tangled up, knotted mess. Jesus untangles life. Jesus brings order out of the chaos. Jesus brings you the kingdom of God, the reign and rule of God. Jesus' reign of service and sacrifice brings spiritual order out of the chaos of this world. Jesus establishes his church and gives his disciples authority to forgive sins and bring the sheep from the chaos of sin, guilt, and shame to the order and peace of being the righteousness of God through Jesus Christ. Jesus dies for the sins of the world, and he rises from the dead to conquer death. Jesus establishes the sacrament of baptism to seal his sheep as part of his flock. He establishes the sacrament of Holy Communion to continue to feed his sheep. Jesus establishes his church, which gathers together to receive his gifts. Each Sunday, you take refuge from the chaos of the world as you gather together here in an orderly way to receive God's gifts of forgiveness and eternal life. Here, Jesus brings you from the tangled chaos of being a natural-born sinner living in a sinful world to the peace and order of knowing that your sins are forgiven, that you are right with God, and you are a citizen of the kingdom of God. Jesus, the Good Shepherd, protects you in the valley of the shadow of death, so you are at peace despite the presence of death. Jesus guides you in the way of righteousness. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you all the days of your life, and you will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Christ conquers chaos for you. Amen. And now may the peace of God, the peace that is beyond understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith until our Lord Jesus returns in glory. Amen. We rise and confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed.
Prayers today for Carol Nott, recovering from cancer treatments. For Becky Crawford, who has cancer. For Jeff Snell, Alan, the latest son, who's in hospice care at home. For Tina Merkin's grandson, Elijah, recovering well from surgery. For Dawn Bear, Nancy Rosh's mother, recovering from surgery. For Brenda Borchers, a friend of Natalie Reeders, who's on hospice care. For Michael Stolenor, pastor of Jane Camp's nephew, having complications with multiple brain surgeries. For Phil Harvey, receiving cancer treatments. For Alicia Reed, Ray, Jeanette Heitman's cousin fighting cancer, and for the family of Marilyn Morgan, Mark Morgan's mother, who died this week. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people, according to their needs. We give thanks to Heavenly Father for your compassion shown in Christ Jesus, the Good Shepherd of the sheep and the righteous Son of David. Keep us trusting at all times in your right hand, in whom true satisfaction is found. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We give thanks to Heavenly Father that you have built one holy church on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ himself as our cornerstone. Grant unity to your church on earth through the work of your Spirit and the faithful proclamation of Christ's reconciled cross. As you tore down the dividing wall of hostility between Jew and Gentile in Christ, so heal all divisions of doctrine and pride on earth, even
as your church is one before your throne. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, that you have brought us from many families into the household of God. Continue to bless all Christian homes and fathers and mothers may faithfully lead their children by word and deed to call upon you as Father. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for our nation and its leaders. We ask your blessing on those who serve in civil office that we may enjoy good government in accord with your commandments. Help us to live in service to our neighbors while here, mindful that our true citizenship is in heaven. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for your constant care and all we need to support this body of life. Attend in mercy to those in need among us, especially Carol, Becky, Jeff, Elijah, Dawn, Brenda, Michael, Flo, Alicia, and Marilyn's family. Free them from dismay and fear by the certainty that Christ is their righteousness. Lord, in your mercy, we give thanks to you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus Christ, God's Son, our Savior, who by his death has made satisfaction for our sins. Grant faith to all who come to his holy supper today, that we may eat his true body for the forgiveness of sins and be satisfied with the life everlasting. Lord, in your mercy, all these things and whatever else you know that we need, grant us, Father, for the sake of him who died and rose again, and now lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, forever. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns through all eternity. All who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying,
Thank you.
begotten Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us the Holy Spirit that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name and as he has taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way, also he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
holy body of Christ.
Excuse me, body of Christ. Geneva, body of Christ. Dale, body of Christ. Judah, body of Christ.
Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Go in peace. Your sins are forgiven. Body and blood of your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, strengthen you and preserve you in true faith unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Your sins are forgiven.
to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us to the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. Thursday the 22nd, I believe that's 7:30 p.m.
Usually the last week for the 9:30 a.m. service, we go back to our original 8 a.m. and 10:45 a.m. So the 8 o'clock service, we never change the time for the 8 o'clock service, this whole thing. So we know how sensitive you are. But that 8 o'clock just stays the same. We already offered common cup at communion, so it's an option to the individual cup. You could receive common cup. I don't really follow up. The elders are doing that, so I'm not as involved, but I really just kind of don't take the individual cup and leave your hands open so the elder sees you haven't received yet, and then they'll bring the common cup. And after a few weeks, the elders will catch on to who's using common cup, who's not. So if you'd like to do that, they do turn it and wipe it between sips. That senior outing on the 23rd at the Silver Spring House at noon. The sign sheet's outside the church office down around the corner. We have put the record of fellowship books back in the pew if you would record your attendance with us. For the time being, we're still just going to collect offering in the back, so we don't have that offering time to collect or to write any fellowship books sometime during, you know, like the children's message or something. Not the sermon. Figuring that out. Breakfast is going to start up again, God willing, on the Sunday after Labor Day. I emailed all of you a link to a Google document where you can choose to help host one time during the year for a month. But it's you and three or four other people, so it's not just you doing it, and it's going to be a simpler breakfast, more continental. We're going to only cook a few times during the year for special breakfast, confirmation or new members or different things like that. And the regular Sunday breakfast will be much more continental-ish. And the reason is it got to be so successful, so many people were coming to breakfast, it took a huge amount of food to prepare. So it just became overwhelming. But do go on that Google link. Choose one of the days. Like if it's a husband and wife, each take one square. And then we just kind of fill up through the year. September's pretty much almost full, but we need to get through the end. If you can't access the Google document, just email Jeanette or myself with what month you want, and we'll put that in. There was also an email about what we're doing to understand that. And we had a lovely visit with our insurance risk management people this week. So a few times during the year, they'd like us to tell them where the exits are. In case of a fire, they say everybody leaves the same exit they came in, but you know, if something happened. So we do have exits in the rear where you came in. There's an exit this way, and you go out through here to the back. This is also an exit. It's not an official fire exit because it goes into a kind of a closet storeroom, but if need be, you can head out there, make a right, and that'll take you outside. And the basement is our tornado shelter. So if there were a tornado, you can go down there, and that's kind of our place to gather for that. So, God forbid we ever need that information. Go in peace. Serve the Lord.